Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
On the Line, the current affairs of our community. For all your other current affairs, Joy sponsor manhouse.com.au and the trade membership card have you covered. You're on the line with Dean Beck.
Good afternoon. It is Thursday, the 28th of May, 2015, and a busy day it is in breaking news. We've got the release of some fantastic new studies, some information that will be music to the ears of many. And we also have some breaking news in Victorian Parliament. We'll find out about that shortly. A little later in the show, we'll be joined by Eloise and Kirsty, who are two people who are joining me with the Early Words Queer Tales at the Wheeler Centre this coming Tuesday. It is part of the Emerging Writers Festival, and it's my great pleasure to be emceeing that event, which I believe is sold out, but you'll be able to find out a little bit more a little later in the show. Also, Ben from starobserver.com.au will be joining us.
On the Line, the current affairs of our community. For all your other current affairs, Joy sponsor manhouse.com.au and the trade membership card have you covered. You're on the line with Dean Beck.
The question is that the bill be now read a second time. Those of that opinion say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. I call the minister.
I move by leave that the bill be now read a third time, and in doing so thank all members for their contribution to this debate.
Thank you, Minister. The question is that by leave the bill now be read a third time and do pass. Those of that opinion say aye.
Aye.
No? Pursuant to Standing Order 14.27, the bill will be returned to the Assembly with a message informing them that the Council have agreed to the bill without amendment.
And with that, Fiona Patten, sitting in the President's chair, announced that the repeal of 19A has been done. Paul Kidd has been making this centre front on the agenda of Victoria's Parliament. He joins us live from there now. Paul Kidd, congratulations to you and all of those who've worked with you on this campaign.
Oh, thank you so much, Dean. It's good to be with you.
Paul, just remind us why this rather archaic law that's only ever been used successfully once had to go.
So 19A was brought in about 22 years ago. It's a law that specifically deals with the intentional transmission of HIV. Our argument against it has been on two fronts. Part of it is that it's essentially redundant because there are already laws of general application that can be used in the case where somebody did intentionally transmit HIV. But more importantly, we think that it's a very counterproductive law. It's something that perpetuates stigma against people with HIV. It presents people with HIV as a danger to the community, which we know that they're not. So we targeted this law as something that we wanted to see gone off the statute books. We used the AIDS conference last year as a platform to do that, and very, very pleased to be sitting in the Parliament this morning and to see the bipartisan support that's there, and to see the law repealed.
I managed to watch some of the members of Parliament and they're addressing this particular issue today, and it was quite emotional.
It certainly was. I think that particularly for some people on the Labor side, because Labor opposed this bill in 1993 when it was first passed. So I think for some people on the Labor side, particularly people who've been around in politics for a long time, it's good to see that eventually that you are on the right side of history, I guess.
There was also I noticed perhaps some politicians who you wouldn't automatically presume would be in support of the repeal of 19A, but who stepped forward and spoke very well and eloquently against the addition to the Crimes Act that was done all those years ago and were in full support of it.
Yeah. Look, I think HIV is something that touches so many people's lives. There aren't very many people around, and I'm sure people in the Parliament would mostly have people either in their families or their friend circles, or certainly they would have constituents who are HIV positive. So I think that gives people a degree of empathy around these things. And I think that we've been really successful in showing the impact of this law. And I think that we've got that message across. So you're absolutely right. It was fantastic to see, particularly some of the MPs that you otherwise wouldn't expect to be speaking on this issue, to be saying such positive and such affirming things.
Are you surprised by the degree of acceptance that this has received in the broader community? I know that there was some hesitation, in leading up to the announcement that 19A needed to go. Are you surprised to the degree at which it has been accepted?
Look, I think that when you stand up and you say you want to remove the part of the Crimes Act that criminalises the intentional transmission of HIV, at first blush, that sounds like an extraordinary thing to do. But our case has always been that the law is unnecessary, that it's better to treat those kinds of situations if they occur under the general law. And I think once we've had the opportunity to put our case out there and explain it, at the end of the day, it's very hard to argue that somebody who pushes you down a flight of stairs and causes you terrible injury should get a lower sentence than somebody who transmits HIV. I think that the important thing there is about making your case really clear and sticking to it, and that's what we've been doing over the last 12 months, and it's good to see that that message has got across.
Paul Kidd, as head of the legal working group to get this repealed, and together with your work with Heath Painter from the Victorian AIDS Council, you've managed to achieve something that has been with us for 25 years, and it's a great day. Congratulations. Congratulations to all of those concerned. What's next on your agenda?
Look, we've always identified that there are two areas that we believe need action in the HIV criminalisation arena, and the second part of that is the adoption of a set of prosecutorial guidelines that would give us greater certainty about the kinds of situations in which people might see themselves prosecuted, either for transmission of HIV or for endangering people for exposure of HIV. So we'll continue to work on that, and we've had a conversation with the Minister about that this morning, and that's the next thing on the agenda is to see that realised.
Well done. Thank you very much for making the time to be with us today.
Thank you very much, Dean.
We're now joined by the Executive Officer of the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, Rob Lake. A great day in Victoria.
Great day. Congratulations. It's amazing news.
It certainly is. Now, you also have some pretty darn amazing news yourself.
It is. It is. It's not my news. It's news out of the US about what's called the START study, which has been a very significant study we've been waiting on for a number of years. The key question the study is asking is really what's the best time for people with HIV to start treatment, particularly are there health benefits to delaying treatment? And what's happened is that the study's actually been closed early because they have definitively answered that question early, and it's clear that there is no benefit to delaying treatment, and that the earlier the treatment is commenced, the better. And there's about a 50% benefit in the reduction of experience of illness and things like that.
Which is fantastic. Substantial, absolutely. Here in this country, we used to wait until CD4 counts fell below 500. That was removed in about 2013. However, there are still S100 GPs who weren't advocates for early treatment.
True, that's true. And there are still people with HIV who think that, they think that, there may be some benefit to holding on. But I think, now we've got evidence. And so what we're really looking forward to is those sort of discussions so that people can, people get the information to make that decision, but they can know that, if they choose to start straight away, because you know, because the good thing about the Australian guidelines is, you know, you can begin on diagnosis if you want to. So we don't have to wait for any new laws or any regulation changes to put this into place.
Now, this has some pretty long-term health benefits for the entire community, but it only has so if people are diagnosed early.
Absolutely, absolutely. So all of these things link together. I mean, you know, kind of access to testing, you know, kind of a regular testing routine, people, you know, kind of knowing their status and, you know, kind of acting on that, keeping on to treatment. And there's a whole lot of steps in all of those that we, you know, kind of AIDS councils, POS organisations are working on to try and make that as easy as possible. You know, this is lifelong treatment. It's a big decision to begin.
One Voice is an Australian charity.
And we really are, you know, kind of, you know, we've got to make sure about all of that. There's some great stuff coming up in the new financial year from 1 July about being able to pick up your HIV meds at a pharmacy. You know, that ticks one box. A lot of the work around, you know, kind of attitudes and stigma around, you know, kind of making it more easier to disclose HIV and get a good reaction to that when you do so. All of these things fit together, but this is at the bottom line. This is great news.
What this study doesn't address is the question that remains in many people's minds, and that is the long-term effects of antiretroviral treatment. What happens in 30 years' time? What does my body look like then?
True. Yeah, and you're right, it doesn't do that. One of the things that we do know, the longer term impacts come from a range of factors. But one of them, which is really what is a sort of like a really long-term inflammation, like cellular inflammation that really begins not long after seroconversion. Some of these sort of things, the treatments actually kind of minimise that as well, and that has an impact. It's unclear how big an impact, but that has an impact, particularly on some of the the changes in organs, like kind of livers and hearts and stuff like that. So we don't know because, you know, we haven't had that long with these treatments to know that, but I think we can hope that particularly as we get better regimes, which are, you know, like kind of easier to take and the dosages are lower, the harmful side effects will reduce. I mean, we've seen that already with the new version of Truvada, which has much less toxicity on kidneys. So, you know, these changes are coming through.
Yes, there's questions around the new version of Truvada as to it simply being a way of extending the patent on the product.
That's all, you know, that's always got to be somewhere in our minds and with new formulations and things. But I think, you know, I think that I'm a very big in terms of global access questions and patents and things like that. You know, we are very strong advocates on that issue. But you know, the kidney impacts of Truvada are a significant concern for a lot of people. So, you know, it's somewhere in the middle of that, yeah.
So the advice is to get on treatment as early as possible. Is there a window period in which it is best to access treatment? Is it best within the first 12 months, within the first 3 years, or is it all about CD4 counts, or is it simply about getting on treatment early?
Hard to answer that. They haven't, because they literally only decided, they only really realised this had happened at the beginning of May, and that, you know, pretty suddenly acted to stop the trial. So now they have to go back and look at the data to find actually, you know, what is the point, you know? There's, you know, kind of what is there a particular, as you say, is it CD4s? Is it something else? And the one thing, I suppose, that, you know, kind of we're all, you know, kind of needing to think about now in terms of information for community is how does that all sit with, you know, kind of your readiness to make that decision and to start, you know, kind of what are the things that, you know, that you need, you know, something you need to think about and someone, you know, who's newly diagnosed or someone who's been diagnosed for a while and hasn't chosen to treat, what to think about now and what do you need to know?
Of course, treatment is great, but it also has to be adhered to. What things are the likes of AFAO and its relevant agency putting into place to ensure that people remain on treatment and are compliant with their treatment?
There's a few things. So, like I say, community dispensing, which was announced by the Commonwealth Minister last year, that'll start from 1 July.
That's about access, but I'm talking about adherence.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got to be, you know, one of the things about adherence is that thing about, you know, running out on the Friday and not being able to get them on the weekend, all that sort of stuff as well. So, you know, that, you know, simplifying that is a big part of it. I think, you know, kind of support, kind of support for people on treatments, the range of things that are around. I mean, think, you know, a network like TIM are a fantastic network. You know, Institute of Men is a fantastic network in terms of those discussions about, you know, I'm starting these. This is what's happening to me. Is this normal? You know, peer discussion is fantastic for this as well. The simplification of regimes. You know, so that they're easier to take. You know, one pill a day, those sort of things as well will make it as easy as possible.
Well, two good stories in the HIV sector today. That's the repeal of 19A here in Victoria and the fact that the START study was stopped because it was discovered that those who were the controls and not on treatment were doing themselves a disservice and probably should begin ASAP. It's good news, Rob Lake.
It's fantastic news. Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Dean.
Rob Lake, Executive Officer of the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations. Until next time, you keep well, take care, and bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this Joy podcast. If you appreciate the work that our Joy volunteers put into producing these podcasts, why not become a member? Support our cause. Call 1300 569 949, jump online at joy.org.au, or consider becoming a member during our 2015 Radiothon, coming in June. Joy 94.9, on air, online, all the time.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.